Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
This is Paul Hawksby
and Charlie Baker,
and this is the H&B Daily with some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We had a bit of a chat, reflected on the football, did some sillier stuff. We also joined by Marnie Swindle, who won The Apprentice in the last but one series. She's only just spent the money to do up a fantastic gym in southeast London, and she told us about whether Lord Sugar's been down. We got chapter and verse on what she's getting up to and where that apprentice money has gone in the world of sport. And we had a birthday spread, Charlie.
We did, Paul. We did. A really good one.
Tremendous game. So I think that should do you. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Charlie.
Afternoon, Paul. Jurgen Klopp must hate a 7:45 Wednesday night kickoff.
Why is that?
I mean, he hates those, doesn't he? He hates any kickoff, Jurgen Klopp, doesn't he? He never actually wants to kick off any match. Moaning about the kicking off times, those things.
I think he's had a few games at quarter to eight on a Wednesday night before.
They were dreadful, Paul. They were dreadful. Nothing went right. I said at half time, I said they can't be as bad in the second half, and they were worse.
Well, I mean, look, they did create quite a lot of chances in the first half.
But they didn't put them away.
And, you know, Everton, look, I think even the Evertonians would say they were heart in the mouth at times after they'd got that first goal. But second half, apart from it in the post, they didn't really lay a glove on it. It was a fantastic performance by
them.
It
really was great.
I mean, they can't keep putting the Everton fans through. It's funny enough, this time last year, our old mate Sam Avery was on yesterday, Evertonian comedian.
Yeah.
I sent him a message after they stayed up at the death last year. And I said, well done, Sam. I said, they can't put you through that again. He said, they might, you know. And sure enough,
they did. Yeah.
But do you know what? It's something about that club. They always find a way. Going back to, what was it, 94 and Graham Stewart against Wimbledon.
Yeah,
2-0 down in 10 minutes. And coming back to win. They always find a way
they
when
do.
It matters as a club. And, you know, that's everybody. That's the players, the management and the fans. They always find a way to dig in. But it can't keep happening.
No.
It can't keep...
I mean, Goodison did play its part last night.
Absolutely,
you know, fans were incredible, I thought, you know. And they just played as a team. They were a proper team. And Liverpool had too many misfiring stars.
Well, look, we all know...
Salah went
missing. Know what's made the difference. It's Sean Dyche and his coaching team moving into tracksuits. That sort of...
It was
a statement of intent. It's workwear. I mean, a suit is workwear to an extent. But when you're on the touchline, you know, I think that feeling that him and the coaching staff had to be in the Everton tracksuit. You know,
I said to you, he can never take it off, Paul. That's it now. He is forever cursed to have.
He's going to wear it from there on
until he's beaten in the tracksuit. He's unbeaten in the tracksuit.
Yes, that's very true.
It's
only two games.
I know, but two games, two wins.
Yeah.
6 points in the tracksuit.
Yeah, six big points in.
If
the
he doesn't wear a tracksuit at the weekend and they lose, it's an absolute nightmare for him.
Yeah, I mean, maybe look, I don't think he's going to want to make a rub for his own back. But anyway, we are interested in this is wardrobe changes that really turn things around for you.
I'm sure he's an excellent coach.
Maybe you could. Your career was going nowhere. You're on the bins and your career was going nowhere.
Yeah.
You never got to drive the lorry. And then one day you thought, you know what, I'm going to wear a bow tie. 4 o'clock in the morning, bow tie. Next thing you know, you're in charge of the wagon. You're the one blocking the road, waving people through.
You're no longer on. So anyway, we're interested to know those wardrobe adjustments that did change your fortunes and how. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and JO 37172233344. Funny, if we got into a conversation earlier on with one of our number, I don't want to be bothered by people, so no, we'll spare you the blushes.
Okay.
But it did make me remember a story. But she was telling us that that her family were once in a BBC documentary about phobias.
Yeah.
And it went out on sort of BBC One. It was quite a big show.
Yeah.
But she was on a train recently. She was on a train in Germany.
Yeah, she was a child.
She was a child
in the documentary.
And she was on a train in Germany, and someone said, "Excuse me, aren't you the girl who was in the documentary about phobias?" That's just weird, isn't
that
it?
It is weird.
Sometimes, yeah. And sometimes you get spotted for the unlikeliest of things. I had a mate who lived in Barcelona, and he did an advert once. Somebody said to me, he knew a mate worked for an advertising agency, said, "Fancy coming along, you'll basically be room mate. You've just got to stand there and pretend you're on the..." It was one of those sort of 0800 things that would go out 3-4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah, nice.
And it probably would have looked like an ad from The Fast Show,
50,
I would imagine.
50-50.
Yeah, it would have been that sort of thing, but in Spanish, or Catalan, as the case may be. So there was him and lots of other Spanish people kind of looking happy and young and dancing around and pick up the phone. "Join us now, let's all chat 3-4 o'clock in the morning." And no one, the old city of Barcelona, never spotted him once.
Not once.
But he used to go to this restaurant, and it was run by these Argentinian guys, this steakhouse. And I went there once with him, and they go, "Señor," and they went all over him, and the staff all high-fiving him. I said, "What's going on?" You know, football journalist.
Yeah.
He said, "No, I did this advert." And he said, "Because it's their hours, they're getting home at 3-4 in the morning. They're sitting there having a beer after work, or they're in the place and they've closed the place at 2-3 in the morning, and they've got the telly on, and they've got to see me five
on
or six times every night. So they think I'm some kind of celebrity.
Oh,
you know, have a drink on the house." No one ever recognised him anywhere else.
Fantastic.
Yeah. So anyway, we're interested to hear your tales of... were you a very niche celebrity?
Yeah.
And why? Did you ever get... Excuse me, mate. Weren't you standing behind the corner flag?
Were you on Why Don't You as a child?
That's right. Well, you were making like the Taj Mahal out of egg boxes. "Hello, my name's Brian. I'm from Nailsea. Yeah. And I'm making the Taj Mahal out of egg..." Why are they always from Bristol? They made it a lot there, didn't they?
The most exciting Why Don't You episode was always the Northern Ireland. Always the Belfast. Fast,
yeah,
because you'd never heard such a voice. If you were, especially from Devon, you were like, "What episode is this?"
Yeah,
once a year.
Obviously, the Bristol ones weren't a big leap
weren't a big
for
deal.
You,
they're just
they?
Speaking normally.
No,
Paul.
That's right.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We did ask you, as one of our number here at Talksport, one of our team, appeared as a little girl in a documentary that was mainly about her mum on phobias.
Yeah.
And was then on a train in Germany and was spotted by someone and said, "Excuse me, weren't you the little girl who was in that phobias document?" I mean, that's a real niche thing.
Luckily, the phobia wasn't strangers talking to you on a train.
No.
That wasn't the phobia.
No, it wasn't it, yeah. That would be terrible. Steve in Leeds says, "I went to Queen and Paul Rogers gig at the Sheffield Arena. This was filmed and released on DVD. Little did I know that apparently I was filmed dancing away in the audience. Some years later, a guy came up to me in Sainsbury's and said, 'Excuse me, mate, weren't you the guy who appeared in the Queen Paul Rogers DVD? I immediately went out and bought it, and then sure enough, there I was.
Wow.
Enjoying my best life.
That's nice, isn't it? It's always nice. I've never seen myself on Match of the Day because I'm not a Premier League fan, Paul.
Okay.
I've seen myself on like Vanarama TV or when they used to show the highlights of League One and Two at 1:30 in the morning.
Yeah.
You go, there you are. Especially if you wear a bright coat. You can see yourself.
Well, especially where your AA jacket.
Yeah,
your North Face AA
Queen
AA
and
jacket.
Ted Rogers, was it?
Queen and Ted Rogers, yeah. They did the music and imagine Brian May playing that on his guitar.
Yeah, there he is. Yeah, lovely. 3-2-1.
The great Paul Rogers, of course, voice of Free and Bad Company.
Yeah, amazing. Absolutely brilliant.
One of the great rock voices. We asked you whether you change yourself sartorially, and it was advantageous to you, a bit like Sean Dyche and his tracksuit.
Yes, of course.
One wag here couldn't resist it. Started wearing a neck brace to work. Haven't looked back since. Beautiful.
Well, that's lovely. What a lovely joke. It's a nice joke, isn't it?
Probably a Tim Vine. He's probably had it off of him.
Yeah, I can imagine most one-liners of Tim Vine's.
Probably
he must walk around going, "Ching, that's mine, that's mine."
He gets accused of nicking Tommy Cooper's material, and they're his jokes. It's great, isn't it?
"Hi, lads. My daughter's best friend was the naughty kid on Super Nanny, the TV programme. Mm. She must have done a good job because he was a swine as a kid, but a lovely teenager.
Oh, that's good.
That's nice.
That's a nice development. That's Anthony. For all those super nanny
Anthony
fans.
The Villa fan. Thank you very much.
Thank you very
indeed.
Much for yeah, those. Yeah, so you can keep those coming. Yeah. Talksport.com, text 81089, tweet TSH and J. Maybe sartorial things turning your luck around.
Yeah.
The turn of the millennium, my mates and I went out in town in Torquay dressed in granny wigs. Walking frames, the works.
Yeah, lovely.
I was never brilliant. I was never much of a ladies' man, but dressed as a 77-year-old Doris, the ladies... No, sorry, Doris, comma, the ladies were all over me.
Oh, very nice. Well, that's lovely, isn't it? There we are.
That's the secret.
Big friends down there, sharing their worthers. Not a euphemism.
Okay.
There we are. Did you see Thailand won 57-0, Paul? Did you see that?
In the world of ice hockey?
In the world of ice hockey, yeah, not football.
No.
Not football, but it's 57-0.
Who were they playing?
They were playing Q8, I think, which... I think I can't imagine much ice in Q8.
The Q80 ice hockey team. That feels like a bit of a cool running thing.
It does a bit, doesn't it? 57-0.
The man who took over. That sounds like one for Paul Watson, football
yeah.
coach. Like,
yeah, yeah.
It sounds like they go in there and turn things around at the Q80 ice hockey team.
Q80. It's always like that sort of
picking
thing.
Them up after the 57-0.
I can't imagine the in Q8. Do you want to play ice hockey?
Yeah.
Yes. Have you got any skates? You know, well, yes, you can be in the national team.
In that part of the world, though, they have quite amazing sort of snow domes and stuff. Oh, so true, I would imagine they do have sort of, you know, must have ice rinks.
Maybe I'm underestimating them.
Yeah.
You know, maybe they're absolutely
brilliant. I mean, they can create a cold atmosphere. Just as hot outside doesn't mean... I mean, Vegas is quite hot. But
yeah,
that's
true.
They managed to have an ice hockey
I'd
team.
I'd forgotten about
good.
The invention of aircon. And ice.
And just
indoors.
The fridges. Exactly, you forgot yeah. about the invention of fridges.
Exactly. I apologise for today. That. I apologise right. for that. Have you ever worn a tracksuit, Paul? Speaking
have
of
have
Sean Dyche.
Have I ever worn a tracksuit?
I can't imagine you in a tracksuit. You're a very smart man, Paul. I can't imagine you in a tracksuit.
I don't think I've had a tracksuit for a very long time. I mean, it's a bit of an odd look for a man of my age, unless you're in a Guy Ritchie film with a pair of like wrap-around
yeah,
shades
oh, yeah.
on.
Yeah.
Bit of an odd look, isn't
would
it?
Would you get one now? Would you if you went to buy one, what sort would you get? Tight trousers?
I wouldn't
would
think
you go
no,
for
I
those tight trousers
not,
on
no,
the
not the great big old plates I got. Those ones that are really no not
really tight.
No,
yeah.
I'd have to have I'd
every
have to.
Single youth football manager in the world wears
yeah.
the really tight.
With a pair
ones.
Of white trainers. No, yeah, no, I don't.
Not
I don't
for those.
I'd
no.
probably go old school, Charlie. I'd probably go for the old three stripes.
Oh, nice.
Probably
yeah.
go down
oh,
that
oh,
route.
Nice.
Maybe in a navy.
A navy three stripe.
As we're talking about that,
oh,
it is Football Shirt Friday tomorrow.
Yes.
We're going to be marking it here on the show. It's an opportunity for everybody to don their football shirt and raise some money for the Bobby Moore.
Yes. Have you got yours lined up? Because you sometimes... No, Andy sometimes wears a few, doesn't he, on the day? Are you going to bring in a few as well? Or
I'm probably just going to wear one.
All right.
I'll keep my powder dry. But yeah. Andy...
Holston?
Andy thought it was... you'll have to see.
Okay, I'll wait and see.
Andy thought it was last week. He said to me, don't forget tomorrow's Football Shirt Friday. I was so tempted.
Yeah.
Just to let him come in a football shirt a week
yeah,
too
very
early.
Nice. Well, Perry Groves the other day said to me, of course, oh, can you tell Rob Beckett I can't make his show after all tonight?
Ah.
And I said, yes.
Because you got him a ticket.
I got him
you?
A ticket. It's next year, Perry. next year, April next year, but there we are. So Andy comes in. Andy's got a great selection of football
yes.
shirts, hasn't he?
Yes,
yeah,
so it's pretty straightforward. It is tomorrow. You wear your favourite football shirt. You share it on social media
yeah.
so hopefully other people get involved as well. And you donate a fiver or whatever you can afford. Ideally a fiver. That's the best. Everybody puts
yeah.
a fiver in. You can put more in, of course, to the Bobby Moore Fund, helping to fight bowel cancer. Done
yeah.
amazing work over the years for Cancer Research UK. So we'll be marking it tomorrow. David James might be joining us for a bit of a
yeah.
chat tomorrow as well.
I was going to wear. I sponsor one of the Torquay United players away shirts.
Yeah.
Throughout the year, Dean Moxey it was this year. I normally sponsor the left back. It was Dean Moxey's shirt.
Right. Yeah.
And. I sponsored that, and what part of the deal is they send you the shirt, and I got sent the shirt this week, and I thought, I'll wear that football shirt Friday.
Yeah.
I shan't be wearing it, Paul. Having seen the size of it.
Ah. He looks quite a big...
Dean Moxey is a lot fitter than I previously thought.
He's leaner.
It's a medium, Paul.
Oh, wow.
It's a medium
so
away
do you look
shirt.
Like, you look like a sort of yellow...
Do you know what?
Savaloy.
I'll put it on, and I'll send you the picture. And then maybe people will pay £10... To the Bobby Moore Cancer Research Fund.
Yes.
Not to see the picture.
Not to see you wearing
there
it.
There we are. So there we are. Queen and Ted Rogers, you say. Love that. Another one bites the dusty bin. That's nice. Thank
well
you.
Done.
Belfast.
Well
ben.
Done. Always thinking Belfast.
And Ben, the Man United fan, says it was an under-18 level Q80. match.
Right.
So it was their first ever game.
Okay.
So it's not much of a story.
That's
really,
quite painful.
I feel like I'm bullying them now.
That is quite painful, though. Yeah. I mean, in Q8, imagine that, the under-18s. Imagine getting back in the car with Dad. They've got one of those demanding dads. Get in the car!
Yeah, but he doesn't know anything about it.
57-0? I couldn't help it, Dad. 57-0?
Unbelievable.
Go home with your nan.
Go home with your nan.
Yeah.
Q8.
I don't know how that works.
I don't know how it works.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
We've just seen a series of The Apprentice end, haven't we?
Yes.
But it takes a while for the money to come in and the work to be done from previous winners. And we spoke to Marnie Swindles, who won the year before last. And Lord Sugar came in on a boxing gym in southeast London. Well, I think the money has been spent now. And she had a big launch this week for the new gym. And I'm looking at some pictures. Looks very impressive.
Yeah, very nice, yeah.
And Marnie joins us now. Hiya, Marnie.
Hello, Marnie.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
Yeah, you must. So, look, it's taken a while, I guess. Well, it's taken well over a year, hasn't it? Plus, to get the money in and spend it as you have. What difference has it made to your gym? Because you had the site before, didn't you? But you've been able to improve it through the investment on The Apprentice.
Yes, it has been an eventful year. We have been training, we've been growing the existing part of the gym, which it was strictly boxing. We've now taken Bronx to new heights, quite literally, expanded into a second floor, spent all of Lord Sugar's money on a sauna, cafe, weights gym, another studio, just expanded our facilities so we can diversify a little bit.
Has he been down? Has he been on the bag?
Yeah.
I imagine he'd look the part, wouldn't he?
I haven't quite managed to convince him to put some gloves on yet, but there's time. There's time.
Very nice. Is it called the Alan Sugar Wing? Does he have his name on it?
No, but he was very excited about the cafe. He has a history of previous apprentice winners and investing in cafes. So I think that was a bit more of his department and something he felt comfortable with. But he's really happy. He sent me a lovely email yesterday, and I think he's due to visit in the next few weeks.
They've got a special pizza oven. It says, you're fired.
Yeah, oh, very
it'd
nice.
Have to be.
Yeah. I mean, Alan Sugar is a great boxer's name, actually, from the 70s.
I wonder what his boxer's name.
An absolutely brilliant name. Yeah. Alan Too Sweet Sugar.
Yeah. I mean, you used to box yourself. I mean, I don't know if it might be. I think maybe you should have fought him for more money.
Yeah, that'd be
get
nice.
Get an extra 50 grand out of him.
I had enough of a fight against all the candidates to get that money. I was my fighting days are over now. I am just focused on facilitating it for everybody else.
And one thing you're trying to do is expand your roster of actual fighters. Is that right? And put fights on under your own name.
Yes, we have some really talented amateur boxers. We've got a kid called Ebenezer Sarpong, who's just coming up now. We've got a few pros, Devon Miller. They're making their way through the ranks, and it's really nice because it means we can be there for them at a grassroots level. And I'd love to create a space and a pathway for them to come up through the ranks, turn over a pro, and hopefully I can support them on that journey, maybe even promote them myself one day. Mm.
You've been doing a bit with the local authorities around there to, you know, keep kids on the straight and narrow. You know, we know about the restorative powers of boxing as a sport over the years in inner city areas, and that's something you're keen to do as well.
Yes, it's completely underestimated, the power of boxing. I have parents all the time worried that it will make kids more violent, and it does the complete opposite. All that angst, all that pent-up tension that a lot of kids feel, and they never really have a space where they can get it out of their system. This is the perfect place for them. They always leave more respectful, more disciplined, and just more empowered than when they came.
And what age do you start them at? What age does the kids start coming in at to your gym?
We've got kids as young as 11 coming in, and especially kids who maybe don't have father figures in their life. They latch onto the older kids. They latch onto the coaches. And it really becomes a family of its own. As cliche as that sounds, I really think boxing clubs in particular just really, really create these family dynamics and give kids a lot of what they don't have elsewhere.
And one thing I know you've been very interested in doing is attracting more women to the sport and attracting more women into boxing gyms. Is that happening?
I think we might be getting too many women now. We've almost got as many women as men, which for a boxing club is a huge achievement, because as late as 2012, women weren't even allowed in the Olympics. So we've come a really long way. And I think you can see with the upwards rise of female boxing, it's hot on everyone's lips. But there isn't yet big female names in the business side of boxing. So that's an area I'd like to really step into.
Did you watch the latest series of The Apprentice, Marnie?
I did. I was in between the launch, so I was catching up on episodes. But yeah, and I'm really happy for Rachel as well, another gym. I'd like to think maybe Lord Sugar saw gyms now as a successful, viable option.
Yeah, he wants to take on Duncan Ballantyne, yeah.
Have you compared notes on your gyms? Are you offering different things?
Well, she came along to our launch yesterday, so it was the first time we got a chance to chat. And yeah, I mean, she's all the way up in Leeds, so we've got our own recipes. I am predominantly boxing, and that's my focus. I'd really like to have the monopoly on that. But we're both on our own journeys. I think if anything, we could really lean on each other. Not a lot of people go through what it takes to be part of The Apprentice, so I think we need to really support each other on it.
So if people would like to come down, tell us how you're in Camberwell, aren't you? South London.
We are called Bronx. We are based in Camberwell. We have sessions every day. We now have a cafe, which I'm hoping will lure in people that perhaps were intimidated by boxing and thought, that's not for me. I want everybody to know that this door is open. Old, young, men, women, whatever background, there really is a pair of gloves for you.
Always, and it's a plan. It's dangerous, though, if you have a good cafe, because I've ended up joining gyms and only go into the cafe.
Gone there for the cakes.
It's not one of these just proteins and just salads. It's a proper cafe. Oh, so, great. You know, like I said, boxing is and Bronx is more than just fitness. It's about creating that sense of community, and you've got to have a good calf to do that.
And plans to expand finally, Marnie? Would you like to open up a Bronx gyms around the country?
Always, always looking for the next step on the horizon. My plan now is to get this one up, running, smooth, flowing, and then I will set my sights on number two.
Excellent. Yeah, good to talk to you. Well done. Thanks very much.
Thank you very much, guys.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
A little news broke a little bit earlier on. Omar Berada, who is moving from Manchester City to Manchester United as their CEO, it's being reported his gardening leave will finish in mid-July.
All right.
Which gives him a lot. I mean, I suppose he'll have some sort of timetable of what he wants to get done.
I hope he's done some planting earlier in the season.
Yeah.
Because if you've not planted early, nothing's going to come up in the summer. You know, he's going to have to be digging over now. And
yeah. Maybe, otherwise, I wonder if he'll do... To get Charlie Dimmock in.
I wonder if he'll do No Mow May.
You think
that's
so?
One of the things, No Mow May is where you leave your grass to grow.
Okay, what's a violinist? May. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
No mo.
Yeah.
My cellist.
Yeah.
Coming on over.
Marvellous.
Got a prom.
Now, we've... so, yeah, good luck to him. I imagine he'll get gardeners in. He's got that kind of money. If you're going from... going to be the CEO of Man United, I reckon you'll get gardeners in.
Yeah. They're doing that at Liverpool, no mo, mate.
that's it. Now... we're going to hear from some of the managers.
Oh, good news.
The games at the weekend. And, of course, another big weekend in the Premier League. Some of the news has emerged of what Vincent Kompany was saying to the referee during the Chelsea game.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you've spotted any of that.
No.
It wasn't. It was less than complimentary.
Oh, was it? It was not be nice to him. I think you're having a great game, mate.
Yeah, it was a sweary take on the referee's integrity. Okay. Although some pretty duff decisions in that, but of course doesn't justify that. Do you hear from Vincent Kompany now?
Yes, please. They've had a dreadful season.
Burnley, where do they play? They go to Manchester United, which probably means they'll be 2-1 up and then lose 4-2 like Blades did last night. Another mad game. He still believes Burnley have a chance of staying up in the Premier League this season.
In all honesty, I don't analyse the situation at the bottom as per se. You know, for me, I analyse what we need to do for the next game, and I know we still have a chance. That's all that matters for me. And whether it's one or two teams or three teams, that's not too much my concern at the moment. I fully understand that every weekend can bring such a shift, and I'd like it to keep tilting our way, of course.
Yeah, things had been going pretty well for them, hasn't they? Was it 1-7?
Yeah,
defeats. I mean, they've been doing
too much, too little, too late. I think is the thing. I mean, he's had such a bad season. They had such an amazing season in the Championship.
Yeah,
everyone thinking he's the next Man City manager. You know, waiting to move him on as soon as possible. I don't know what happens to Vincent Kompany next.
Well, no, I think he stays there and gets them probably straight back up again because you know they're in pockets. They play some good stuff. It's just pretty unforgiving, the Premier League, isn't it? Vincent also did reflect on some of the things he said regarding referees and officiating generally.
I think I was very clear about that on the day itself, and the words that I used, especially mentioning the word cheat and you know, questioning the integrity of the referees. I said in a very, very honest way that that doesn't reflect what I actually think. So to me, it's important to state that I really believe in the integrity of the referees in this country. I actually also believe in the fact that because they've set such high standards over the years, you know, at times when you go through a difficult patch, it just stands out a little bit, you know. But my comments, you know, that's why I apologize. That's why I kind of, you know, but yeah, when the mist comes down in terms of what you're trying to say, yes, of course, I my goal is to be with the team, is not to get involved with anything other than the performance of my team.
Yeah, you've got to cut them some slack at times. I mean, like you said, in the moment, he seems a pretty reasonable player, but in the moment, you've just been sawn off in a big game like that. And then, you know, the red mist and all that.
They often think that's what the ref's for, don't they? That's what they're there for. It's a battering
it's the
ram.
The one word that you ever talk to a referee.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that.
Honestly, they swear in their face. You can say anything about a ref, but as soon as you say cheat, out come the cards and it gets serious because that's the one thing they won't take. Anyway, Sean Dyche, very much the man of the moment. I'm even sounding like him now.
It's your job, by the way.
Yeah, Sean Dyche was speaking to Sam Matterface after the 2-0 win in the Merseyside Derby last night. And then he did that thing that people occasionally do, quite un-Dyche-like, referred to himself in the third person. This is what happened when he realised he'd done it.
There's so many good people here. There's so many good fans here. There's so much good going on. There's a new stadium. The community. So the people, the things that get done in the community, but they're really hard to talk about when you're not winning. It's simple as that. You know, you're not winning. They're going, yeah, shut up, Dyche, about all that nonsense. And you're winning a game.
Oh, there we are, yeah. That's not a Sean Dyche thing to do.
It's not.
Says Sean Dyche.
Exactly not a Sean Dyche thing to do. He also joined the boys on breakfast, Big Al and Gabby, this morning. And they were interested to find out why Sean had gone with that new outfit, of course, tracksuit, along with his coaches.
John is now, for more on this, is the tracksuit king, Everton boss, Sean Dyche. Sean, good morning.
Good morning, Sean.
Is that tracksuit king for two games? Now 500 and odd. I mean, you guys, as you know, there's been as much noise about me wearing a tracksuit, for Christ's sake. I mean, where does that live? I have no clue where that lives. At the end of the day, I just made...
you know, it's like some tactical genius because you put a tracksuit on. I can assure you, that ain't what won us the last couple of games. There's a lot more to it than that. If it was just that, I mean, that would be an easy gig. I know, I'll change my outfit and win games.
I reckon they were sticking in the club shop. I reckon they weren't
selling. I think that's what it is.
We've not
he's
done
an,
well.
He's an influencer,
it's
is
not,
he?
It's not been a big seller, that one. And so they've said,
can
would
you wear one?
The, yeah, all right, then I'll put it on.
Yeah, what a nice idea.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
And it is time now for the birthday spread. Quite a simple game that many of you play along at home with or in the car on the school run. Afternoon kids on the school run. Play along in the car.
Oh, have some sweets.
With mum and dad. Tell us now let us know how you're getting on at half time. But it's a simple game, 10 birthdays. And we have to guess the ages of the people that Andy has come up with.
Oh,
he chooses the birthdays around the high quality of the gags he can attach to each one of them. And he brings them to us. Some people will know, some people we won't. Now, we won't get them all
increasingly
spot.
Increasingly, we won't.
And we won't get them all spot on. That would be ridiculous or cheating. Well, so, you know, as you've seen with Charlie once
or
twice.
About that, Paul.
So we will be slightly out. There will be a margin of error. And for all those years that we're slightly out, they will build. And there will be a margin of error. And the one with the largest margin of error, as we guess the 10 birthdays, you'll get the hang of it, is the loser. The winner being the one with the shortest
I'm pleased you've explained all that, because I've never quite understood the rules.
Yeah, that probably would explain quite a lot. Good afternoon, Andy.
Hello, Andy.
Boys.
Yes. Yeah. So what's the quality of the material like today, the gags?
Well, not too bad, really. Okay. You'll be the judge, I feel.
Yeah, we will be. The court of public opinion. Well, somebody needs to keep score after a fashion, and that turns to Jeff Peters.
A very good afternoon from the Nerves Centre.
Answer that phone, Jeff, will you?
Yeah, I will do. So the last five between Paul and Charlie. Paul has won all five. He leads 7-4 this year.
This can't be true.
And 65-41 overall.
65-41. You had a little run there, Charlie, where you
I
were
did, yeah, I was doing
pulling
well,
it
wasn't
back.
I
don't know what's happened. They've been quite tight games.
In that seven, though, is the Max Rushton debacle. Is that included?
There was a Max Rushton game. I lost to him in a kind of...
Count,
it was
count.
Like I went to Australia to play a post-season friendly. And I got a bit jet-lagged on the way back. So anyway, let's get underway then.
Yes,
we always
please.
Have the music of Pelé and Sergio Mendes to underscore what we get up to. Here we go. And the first birthday, Andy. Yeah.
Sorry, I got a bit excited there. Yeah. The first birthday this week is the fine actor Amber Heard.
Amber Heard.
We were on a wine tour, actually, walking through a vineyard, searching for some bugs that were destroying the grapes. They were making a right racket, but I couldn't tell where the noise was coming from. But Amber heard it through the grapevine.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
Now, she's a lot younger than Johnny Depp, wasn't she? So what? But how long ago was that case? 39. Mm-hmm.
She keeps cattle, you know that, don't you?
Is she?
Yes, the Amber Heard.
Oh, okay, fair enough.
41. 41.
38.
Oh. Paul knew that. He's looked at that.
I haven't looked at that.
Yeah, I just had a guess, Charlie.
Looked it up.
Seen that one in the paper. Just a little sneaky glimpse at that one in the paper.
I deliberately don't look at the birthdays.
Yeah.
I mean,
you were
2 years out and I was 3 years out.
Sends
I was 1 year
every
first.
Year.
It's not like you said she was 74, was it? What's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Seen and not heard. Paul 1, Charlie 3.
Okay.
3-1. Okay.
A late
little,
topper there.
Very late topper.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's the Formula One driver from 84 to 95, Pierluigi Martini. Pierluigi Martini. And we used to go swimming in very cold water. My job was to stand by the side of the river with a large towel waiting to dry Martini.
Oh, okay.
Oh, very nice. Very nice.
95 he packed up, did he?
Packed up, was it? 95,
yes.
Yeah. Okay. And then so I think he is 67.
Okay, I might go a little bit younger. 61.
63.
Oh, very nice. That was a good sum,
wasn't
it?
We both did the same thing. I'm sure everybody did it over in the car going, okay, well, what age did he retire? Probably between 30 and 35.
When did he pass his test?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, talking of which, congratulations to Newcastle's Matt Ritchie.
Yes.
Who has passed his HGV driving test, apparently. So coming to a lorry near you, apparently.
He has indeed, yeah. Coming to a lay-by near you.
Coming to a lay-by near you.
Have a little sleep.
Yeah.
Get one of them kettles.
He could probably drive the coach. If so, I'm to the coach driver on the way back from a game. But well done to Matt. I'm sure we'll bring you more on that on TalkSport as the day unfolds. This is true, apparently. Well, it was on social media, so it must be true.
So the scores, Paul, two out onto three, Charlie, four out onto seven. We are on Instagram Live, by the way, and Mr. Jeff Peters, Andy looking fabulous as always.
Oh, okay, that's nice. Fair enough. Is that Andy's Instagram handle, is it? At Andy looking fabulous always.
So, it's back.
Talking of Newcastle, it's the fine goalkeeper, Shay Given. Mind you, he really got on my nerves last week. He kept insisting on showing me his stamp collection for at least the fourth time. I said to him, I've seen them given.
I've seen them.
It's all about the comma. It'd be great if he opened a French restaurant. What would he call it?
Shay Given.
He hadn't got to say it, Andy. It just didn't really.
I needed any spelling out.
So, Shay Given is what? 44.
Yeah, I was trying to think of someone called Take, but I couldn't think of anyone called Take.
Okay.
So they could be double barreled with the Given Takes.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Are you one of the Given Takes?
48.
48.
Yes. Back to naught.
I've been looking at the papers.
Oh, okay.
what's that done to the scores, Jeff?
Well, on a Saturday on time difference, that would take it back to all square. And the score is 7-7.
Wow.
Do we know where that came from, that high pitch thing? Someone asked me, messaged me the other day.
Andy, it's an old school test. You want to do that one, Andy?
Well,
very
I'll tell you very quickly. Yes, we were standing basically next to a game of football was being played at school. And this bloke, we spotted that he had a very high voice. So we asked him the score, and he went, 5-5.
There we are. That's it.
That's it.
From then on, whenever there's a draw,
that's the extent of the story.
Is it 7-7? You sure it's 7-7?
Basically, what Andy described there was bullying kids.
It's nice when the kids are listening.
Don't do what Uncle Andy does. It's bullying, being nasty to high voiced kids. So, okay, 7-7.
Paul, he'd need a PCV license to drive a bus.
Oh, okay.
So he's not got that. He's got the LG.
He can do a conversion, can't he?
I don't know.
Anyway, let's rock on. 7-7.
Very detailed there.
Yeah.
Okay, it's the wonderful cricket umpire, Dickie Bird.
Good old Dickie.
Not a lot of people know this, but Dickie turned down a part in a very famous American TV police drama about the drug scene in Baltimore. He didn't want to be Bird on the Wire.
Oh, okay. Oh,
nice. That's very nice.
Can you imagine seeing Dickie Bird in The Wire?
Just
Dickie turning up.
Answering a phone.
Long white coat and a cap. Anyway, happy birthday, Dickie. He's a good man. He does listen to the show.
89.
I think he's a bit older than that, Dickie.
Oh, thanks.
Not much. 90. Is he 92?
He's 91.
Wow, Dickie. Nice year on him.
Nice bit of deflection there, Paul, knowing that you knew how old he was. But don't say the right ones in case people think you cheat.
Followed his career for years. Exactly. Exactly, Jeff. What's the scores then, Jeff?
Paul one out onto 8, Charlie two out onto 9. Great scoring.
Here we go. Into half time with this one.
Okay, it's the fashion and jewellery designer Paloma Picasso.
Oh,
Paloma Picasso. And Paloma made me lunch the other day. She's not a bad cook, but she puts OXO in everything. Picasso is a real cubist.
Oh, God. Heartland. Very heartland.
It was, yeah.
I know. She's
doing his cubist material. Andy coming on with his post-impressionism game.
She's also gone into the wine business. I definitely recommend her white wine, but you only have one glass of it. Una Paloma Blanca.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Not bad.
Yeah, not bad.
I mean, not good, but...
Live workshopping there. Paloma Picasso.
Yeah. Picasso in the attic. Sean Connery saying Picasso, that was. Picasso.
How old is she, Charlie? I'd say...
Cubist movement.
Do you know how old she is, Charlie? Do you know her?
Is it me?
No, it's me, but do you know her?
Paul, this is the game. This is the whole game. I didn't really listen.
62. I haven't got a clue.
Can you tell me what she was... She's a
jewellery designer. 60. Got market stall.
I don't want to go too far away from you, but 75.
She is. Exactly. Jeff's laugh will tell you she is 75.
No way. How would I don't know that, Paul. Not looking up in the paper. She's there. Bit moody, that. So, what's that done to the scores?
Then we stayed with the Picassos in the south of
France.
What's
that done to the scores, Jeff?
At the halfway stage, it's Paul 21, Charlie 9.
Wow.
So, Charlie has a 13-point lead. And the most exciting thing now...
Myself and the production team will be having a serious chat with Charlie over the next few moments.
That was a pure guess.
At which point, you can get in touch and tell us how you're faring at halftime. And whether you're cheating as well.
How would I possibly cheat?
TalkSport.com, text 81089, Twitter TSHNJ. Do let us know how you're getting on, and we'll bring you the best of those in a few moments' time, as ahead of the second half.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
John the Seagull says, after a week at the Charlie Baker School of Revision, I'm having the game of my life. I'm on three. Pat on the back for me as I got two direct hits for Pierluigi Martina and Dickie Bird.
Very nice.
First time that's ever happened. And the first time they've been mentioned in the same sentence. Yeah. Started well with Amber Heard, missed by 3 years, all downhill from there, says Don. Yeah. John in Nantwich, score of 15, spot on with Dickie Bird. And what else we got?
Says, I'm like you, Paul. Was 8 out until Picasso ruined my score. Now 25 out. But at least I'm not cheating like Farmer Boy. That's
a bit
Martin
harsh.
Pidash.
Harsh.
Martin Farmer Boy. That's what he's called. They call me that.
A bit of breaking news on the Matt Ritchie front. Frankie in Liverpool says Matt could drive the team bus without a PCV licence because it wouldn't be for hire or reward.
Oh, there we are. Lovely update. Thank you, Frankie.
Bit of breaking news. But well done to Matt for passing his HDV.
Quick quick half-time update on Instagram Live. Andy took us around the flat. Hmm. We went into his bedroom and saw his and Sue's toys. Now they were
stuffed animals.
They were soft furnishings.
Thank you very much. Jeff.
Tony Jones, the commentator, is absolutely loving the quiz. And John Michael says, if Paul loses this, he's going to go the full Maranakis.
Oh my God!
Yeah, that's good.
the full Maranakis, which was a brilliant film.
We all remember it.
It was in Greek, but I still
great,
understood
it. It was great, wasn't it?
It was good.
Great.
The version of Hot Stuff on the Bazooki was a sensation. So let's crack on then. And Charlie, you're off next.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, the legendary athlete, middle distance, double Olympic gold medalist, Dame Kelly Holmes.
Oh, yes.
Dame Kelly, yeah.
And on a recent trip back to the London Stadium, Dame Kelly was on the pitch being presented to the fans when the club mascot tripped and landed on top of her. Yes, she was Holmes under the hammer.
Oh, very tremendous.
Nice. Very nice.
Very
recycling now.
Haven't you got homes to go to?
Yes.
I don't know what you've got anything with that.
Do you know old cheers?
I've met her. Shook her hand once.
Okay. What do you reckon?
I'm coming.
Go
it's coming.
Then.
45.
Might be a bit older. 51.
54.
Oh, okay.
Wow, really
birthday
dip yourself
Kelly.
In there.
So, what's happened to the scores, Jeff?
If Kelly's listening, she'll be pleased with that, won't she?
Yeah,
Paul,
yeah.
You were 3 out, onto 24. Charlie, 9 out, onto 18. 6 in it, 4 to go.
Wow, here we go. Back to me then for birthday number 7, Andy.
Birthday number 7, the theatre director and writer, Vicky Ireland. Vicky Ireland. And we were out for a walk, actually, in the country, strolling alongside a bubbling... Not a bubbling,
or babbling.
A babbling.
You don't like bubbling, do you? One for Fergal Sharkey if it's bubbling. That doesn't sound good, does it?
Speaking of babbling, here's Jeff Peters.
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Charlie Baker.
Yeah. Okay.
A bit harsh.
A babbling brook. When Vicky slipped and ended up in the water, I sounded the alarm. Islands in the stream.
That was very good.
Excellent.
It's worth the wait.
It was. Yeah.
Excellent.
That was great.
Vicky Ireland.
Not a clue.
You work in theatre.
Not a clue, love.
I don't know. It's difficult, isn't
it? Could be 26, can she, Paul?
She could be.
Vicky Ireland.
61, I'm going to go.
Oh, we've gone up there.
I have gone quite high.
70.
79.
Wow, Charlie.
Charlie's doing great.
He is having a good game.
Yeah, 9 out onto 27, Charlie, unfortunately. Paul, 18 out onto 42. So 15 in it, 3 to go.
I can lose me. I've lost worse
Hopefully.
Than this.
Yeah, okay.
He's gone bitter.
Very furious, Jeff.
Yeah, he is. He won't forget that. Onto number 8.
Okay, number eight, he's the ambassador of Italy to the UK, Raffaele Trombetta. Raffaele Trombetta. And whenever I go to a test match, Raffaele is always there with his extremely annoying mates. He's the Barmy Army Trombetta.
Oh. What does he do, Raffaele Trombetta?
Ambassador of Italy.
The ambassador.
UK.
Well, he got his years, or is he still doing the gig?
It looks like he's still doing it. Just
still,
as ambassador.
Still doing the gig. The boy ambassador. 12, I think.
I like the Barmy Army Trombetta. Yeah, doing all Italian songs, you know.
What do you think?
What's Italian for "Where do you come from"?
Any old age, couldn't he?
Yeah.
63.
He might be a bit younger. Could be wrong. 59.
64.
Oh, Charlie is just fire. Having a good game. I've never really recovered from Picasso.
I
really.
Still haven't.
What's the scores, Jeff?
Charlie, 1 out onto 28. Paul, 5 out onto 47.
Terrible.
So, yeah, 29 in it.
29 in it. 29.
To go.
I'll give you a call, Jeff, off
very
air. I just
game.
Need you to find me 29 more years. You normally
tough,
get away with that.
It's very tough.
Phone somebody up and say that. So, here we go then. It's on to me.
Okay, the former General Secretary of the National Union of Teachers, Lady Christine Blower. Christine Blower. Last week, I popped over to her house near the Oval. She insisted on pointing out the London Transport vehicles going past. Oh, look, there are two buses going down the Harleford Road, my dear old thing, said Blowers.
Oh, yeah, OK. Yeah, he went down the Blowers Road. Yeah,
did you see her with her new business partner, the Ipswich defender, Leif Davis?
Oh yeah. No, it didn't work. Davis Blower doesn't Blower. Really work, Jeff, does it?
So, Leaf Blowers.
We
got it in really.
What's her job again?
Pumps.
What's her job again?
Pumps.
What's her job, Andy?
Oh, she's the former General Secretary of the National Union of Teachers.
Yeah. That was a job, by the way.
Yeah, it was a job, by the way. Yeah. 66, clickety-click.
66 you've gone for, have you?
Yeah.
71.
73.
Wow. So we go into the last birthday, and obviously Charlie will kick us off. I'm getting marmalised.
Very, very tough game this week, and been very well played, I think.
Yeah, OK. So well, you far. Seem to be quite... Yeah. Quite controlled and everything this week, Charlie.
Charlie back from the news agents. 2 out onto 30 on that one, Paul. 7 out onto 54. 24 in it.
24.
One to go.
No one can,
lose.
No
here.
One can
absolutely
lose.
Absolutely can lose.
Last
from
birthday,
here.
Andy.
No
go.
Problem.
No one can lose from here.
Okay, the last birthday. The High Court judge of the Wales Circuit from 2018 to 21, Sir Simon Picken. Sir Simon Picken. Mm. And I remember when he did the playlist for the opening of our local Woolworths, his blending of tunes was way ahead of its time. No one will ever forget Woolworths Picken Mix.
Yeah. He knew it was coming.
Yeah,
brilliant.
You know, nothing you can do about really. It.
What's,
yeah.
it, what's, his, really. What's his title again, please, Andy?
He's a High Court judge.
He is the High Court judge, or presiding judge, Wales Circuit, mm-hmm. 2018 to 21.
Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I think he's 76.
Okay, so I've got... Okay, fair enough. So well, you know, I either think he's 90.
No, you either think he's 100.
Oh, 100, sorry, yeah. Oh, I'm
or
that
52.
Far yeah. I'll go 51.
He's in fact 58.
Oh, ball!
It was closer than you thought.
Oh, what a great game, though. Excellent game.
You enjoy that, Charlie.
It was felt scientific this week, yeah. Not the usual childish rubbish.
It's funny.
It felt very, very difficult this week.
Like a proper adult game.
Like a sort of intellectuals game, like yeah. Only Connect.
Fantastic. Thank
very
you for
very well done, everyone. Well played, Paul. Paul,
we
well
do
played.
Final score, 61-48. It's 7-5 in 2024. And Andy's got a bonus gag that he says he cannot do on air, but he's going to do it on Instagram Live.
Oh, wow.
Mr. Jeff Peters, come over, and we want yeah, this
the
time
jokes,
of day.
The jokes this week were particularly good, actually, Andy. Well done.
Oh, stop crawling.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast.
Well, there we are. That's how it all unfolded today. I'm back with Andy tomorrow. Charlie, you're back on Saturday.
Saturday, 9 till 11, the game day warm-up. Me and Max Rushton. Great fun.
Brilliant. Building up to all the live football. So I'll see you tomorrow with Andy. Stan Collymore joining us, amongst others. So I do hope you can join us from 1. If not, the podcast is available at 4.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.